Are you looking for Christ-centered, cross-focused Christmas gifts for your young children, grandchildren, or godchildren? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a children's book titled, O Holy Night. This children's resource costs less than $2, plus shipping and handling. O Holy Night is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Holy Night, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a children's book. We feature children's books up try to several months out of the year in our Books of the Month, and Christmas is a great time for this children's book. It's brand new from Concordia Publishing House. It's one of those simple poetic books that you remember from your childhood, the Arch books, and it's their latest called O Holy Night, and it talks about the holiness of the night when Christ was born. And that's the constant refrain throughout this entire children's book is, O Holy Night, O Holy Night. It's a lot of other ways of describing that night, but it is the most holy night for Christians at Christ's incarnation and his birth. And as the church prepares to celebrate it, think about getting a copy or two of O Holy Night for a child, grandchild, or godchild that you know. It's only $2 a piece. O Holy Night from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. On this day, the church is remembering Lucia, and if you've ever seen a picture, usually of a young maiden, she's dressed in white, and she's wearing a crown of candles. Then you've seen Lucia. What does all that mean? Why does the church remember what some people might consider to be a rather obscure little saint and martyr? Pastor Will Whedon is with us, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to help us remember St. Lucia. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you.
This is the picture that we have of her. And I've actually seen Lutheran parents who on this date will even have one of their little kids, the little girl, dress up as St. Lucia. White gown, little crown of candles. I don't think they light the candles.
I tell you, I've even seen Deaconess Sandy Bowers dress up this way and bring some goodies. So, it's Santa Lucia, St. Lucia. It's a great story and one that's inspired the church for a long time. And I have to say that last year, on St. Lucy's Day, I had a knock on my door, and who should be there? Pastor Curtis's little daughter, Anastasia, bringing along some St. Lucia goodies to me.
What are we remembering on this day? Who are we remembering?
We're remembering this spunky little kid, Lucy. She was, you know, the last big wave of empire-wide persecution under Diocletian was bad. And Lucy was one of the martyrs taken in that, meeting her death in A.D. 304. I said before, she's from Syracuse, a town in Sicily. And she is, her name, Lucia, it literally means light, hence the connection with the lights on her head. And also with the time that in the Northern Hemisphere, this is a pretty dark time, as you observed earlier. Outside, it's dark. She was especially remembered, though, for some stories. I asked my friend Matt Carver, Matt, have you translated any of that Herberger Valerius Herberger gives all these really juicy bits from the Middle Ages.
Legendary
stuff about the saints. So this is what Herberger, Matt just had. He hadn't, but he did this afternoon and just sent it my way. So let me share with you what he has given to us from Herberger about St. Lucy. He says, we're given a beautiful example in St. Lucy, who was also a light for the world. For she carried the light of the world, the Lord Jesus, on the lampstand of her faith, and to his glory she shone with beautiful rays of virtue as a light into the world. She's constantly asking her wealthy mother to do good for the poor. Her mother said, wait till I kick the bucket, then you can give everything away. And good Lucy said, dear mother, give while you live, then God will pay you back. For what you give when you die, you give by necessity, only because you cannot take it with you. Otherwise, you just leave it here. This is a good rule for those who always talk and prattle about what they will bequeath after their death and never start doing it. See how her faith burns with the beautiful rays of love for her poor brothers and sisters in Christ. When the wreath of virginity was threatened to be taken by force, you know, her betrothed that was so angry at her giving away of the dowry that the threat was, you know, I'm going to sell you to a brothel. She responded by saying, if you violate me, I am still inviolate. I will gain a twofold crown for my chastity. The body will not be defiled unless there is consent. But that will never happen with my will. Isn't that, I mean, that is a beautiful word of comfort that every rape victim needs to hear. You know, nobody can take virginity away from you. It can only be given away. And then when she was ordered to make offerings to false gods and to stick to the older form of worship, the idolatry, she said, I am assured what is the best, oldest, and most beautiful form of worship, a pure and spotless worship of God the Father, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. These words are found in James 1. Behold how her love of God's word shone forth, how closely she must have listened to the sermon. The judge said, enough of this foolish talk. I pray you, tell it to those who lack wisdom. I will abide by the counsel of those who rule the Roman Empire. Lucy said, listen well then. You shall abide by the counsel of those who rule the empire on earth, and I shall abide by the counsel of the Most High, who rules in heaven. I mean, just fabulous, just obviously, you know, a legendary embroidery of the story. You mentioned her picture with the lights on her head. She's also often pictured, this is really gross, holding a platter with her two eyes on it. Because according to many of those traditions, especially medieval ones, she had her eyes put out before she was murdered, before she was martyred for the faith. So, she is the, you know, and think of the connection between eyes and light. And Jesus said, you know, your eyes are the light of your body. So St. Lucy is always regarded as a patron saint, if you will, of the blind, remembered that way. She is especially popular in Scandinavia, and that's where she sort of survives in the Lutheran church and the tradition of making the special foods on that day and lighting the candles on the wreath of the little St. Lucia, usually the youngest girl in the house.
Is it St. Lucy bread? Is that what it is?
Yeah, St. Lucy bread. And one more thing on Lucy I think that's kind of neat is I've always wondered, suspected, thought, I don't know for sure, that C.S. Lewis, when he gives us Lucy Pevensey in the Aslan stories, the Chronicles of Narnia, I think she's modeled on the spunky St. Lucy girl of Sicily. You know, could you hear the sort of attitude ringing through these things? It's an attitude of fierce devotion to Christ that won't bow down to the world. And that's a light that shines into a darkness and brings joy to people's hearts.
I want you to talk briefly about St. Lucy in connection to not with the legendary stuff in view there, but in light of Christ's words where he talks about if one will not enter the kingdom of heaven as a little child, one will surely never enter it.
Right?
And he commends to us the way that children are received into the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Talk
and,
about that.
Well, I think especially what's being commended there is the way in which, if you ever notice that if you tell a child something, they tend to take you very literally and at your word, right? I mean, that's how they operate. And I think what Jesus especially would commend then is if we're going to enter the kingdom of God, let us enter a kingdom of God the way that children do, trusting the words that are spoken to them. When God gives you a promise, it doesn't matter how crazy it may sound. God loves to give crazy promises. Impossible. I mean, think about it. This little girl says, you know what? I don't care about having a nice husband and a fancy home and being set up for life. I'd rather be with Jesus and bless the poor people. I'm going to give away everything I have, and I don't care what it costs me. Wow. I mean, that's some kind of heroic, wonderful faith that shines in her life. And it's something that I think you could see a child doing without thought. A child doesn't worry about where the food's coming from tomorrow. It doesn't even enter their heads. They got a father that cares for them.
This is a time of anxiety for people. They're overspending for the holidays, and I think in particular for Christians, not only doing that themselves, but ending their congregational years, and they're looking at their budgets and they're fretting over these things, and they're thinking, "Will we have enough?" how will we have enough? And that seems to be a thought that, at least according to the legend, Lucy just simply didn't concern herself with. Speak to that issue of God's provision in spite of our apparent or prospective poverty.
Well, we talked earlier about the Lord's Prayer, and we talked about how God gives us daily bread, and that's something that, Christians live in the confidence of. We would always feel more comfortable if we could see the provision for tomorrow and the next day and the day after that and the day after that. But God simply invites us to trust and believe that He will supply everything that we need for each day of our lives as long as He would have us live, and we don't need to worry about that for ourselves. It's something that He's got covered. I'd kind of like to close, if it's okay, with the prayer that that our treasury of daily prayer assigns to this day, thinking about Lucy and the eyes especially. O Almighty God, by whose grace and power your holy martyr Lucia triumphed over suffering and remained ever faithful unto death, grant us, who now remember her with thanksgiving, to be so true in our witness to you in this world, that we may receive with her new eyes without tears, and the crown of light and life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Pastor Will Wheaton is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Will, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for all the time that you've given us this afternoon.
Hey, it's been a joy, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to, in the season, that is the way that the world is counting the season, we're already celebrating Christmas. Of course, the church waits to do such. But there's some questions about Christmas that deserve some answering before the date rolls around. And one of those things is the date. You've probably seen it on Facebook or one of the urban legends that is common among Christians. And that is, look, if you're going to celebrate Jesus' birth, fine and good for you, but don't do it on December 25th. Because that's a pagan date for their celebrations that Christians only borrowed. Is that true? We'll answer that question after this. Pastor Joseph Abrahamson will be our guest. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin, Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin, Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois, Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland, Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming, Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington, Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois, Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas, St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska, Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri, Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois, Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin, Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois, Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Folks, we have 3 weeks left in 2012, and we're $40,000 short of making budget this year. As you consider your year-end giving, please remember a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make an online year-end contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
How will you answer?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A video starts off with a woman saying, "More children are born alive from failed abortions than you might think." She then asks, "How do I know this?" Her answer, "Because I am one of those children who survived an abortion." This powerful video is posted on the Susan B. Anthony List website, and we invite you to view it. It's called, How Will You Answer? Not only will you learn about how Melissa and others survived the attempts to abort them, but you will also be linked to other resources on this important yet neglected topic.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.